Please take your Bibles and turn to the very familiar portion of Scripture in John chapter 3. And shall we stand together as we read from John chapter 3, familiar words, John 3, 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into this great chapter. And Lord, we thank you so very much for the thoughts that Jesus Christ came to be our salvation. We ask, Lord, now your hand upon those that are here today. And Lord, if there is one today that is questioning their salvation, may they get it answered today so that they know that they have eternal life. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I will continue reading in John chapter 3 and verse 14. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I have 7 quick thoughts. The first being, we are saved from the penalty of sin. Those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have accepted him as Lord, are saved from the penalty of sin. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Saved from hellfire. I know it's not popular today to even mention the word hell, but the fact of the matter, Jesus talked about hell. He gave a parable about hell. He gave a story about hell, because hell is real, hell is hot, and hell is to be something we don't want to have as part of our life. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. We are going to be freed from the penalty of sin. We can call it mercy, we can call it grace, but the fact of the matter is, we deserve hell fire, and God says, I will provide a way of salvation. Unfortunately, many today find that, well, I'll find another way into heaven if there is a heaven. One of the reasons of the teaching of evolution is to tell you that there is no God, and thus you have no God to whom you must answer. But the fact of the matter is, if you ponder the human body and its design and think about its nervous system, you think about the blood as it is being pumped by that heart for years, pumped throughout your whole body, and the blood vessels and the arteries. When you think about your brain and how wonderful it is, and then say, well, all that just happened. Only a fool would say that just happened. It is a designed that is special. And there is a God, and this God loves us and cares for us and wants the best for us and has sent a sacrifice for us, saved from the penalty of sin. Second, we are saved from the power of sin. If you would, the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, we'll begin reading at verse 11. He has provided a way of escape for us, that whatever sin comes our way, we can be victorious over that sin. We hear an awful lot today about addictions. And, oh, you are addicted because of your family or your environment, or you have been mistreated. But the fact of the matter is, God can give us a victory over our addictions. He can help us because he will give us and save us from the power of sin. Verse 11 tells us in Romans 6, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Let me ask you this. Do you have to sin? Answer me. Do you have to sin? You don't have to. Why do you sin? Because of our lust, right? Our desire. You say, well, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. He may have tempted you, but he cannot make you do it. We do it because we choose to do it. You choose. The fact of the matter is, we have been saved from the power of sin. But the fact of the matter is, we still live in this human body. And we're weak. That's why we need to remain close to the Lord. Close to the Lord. Number three, we're saved from the power of the devil. The book of Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. We'll look at verse 18. We find here the Apostle Paul's testimony to King Agrippa. And this verse opens our eyes to the fact that we are saved from the power of the devil. Now, we know he's a booger. We know he's at odds with Almighty God. We know from the Old Testament scriptures that he wanted to become greater than God. He got the big head because of his beauty and of his intelligence. When he fell and he was kicked out of heaven, and he took with him a third of the angels, his desire then was mankind. And he's come after us with a vengeance. And verse 18 says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified or set apart by faith that is in me. Forgiveness of sins. I'm glad that my sins have been forgiven. Now you say, Pastor Paul, are you a sinner? What do you think? Yes. Say, Pastor Paul, tell us. No. I'm not going to tell you. But the fact of the matter is, you're not going to tell us either. We're sinners. And there are two types of sinners. There are saved sinners and there are lost sinners. There are those sinners who have been saved by the grace of God. Their sins are forgiven, and there are those sinners whose sins have not been forgiven. It says, for the wages of sin is death, either your death or the death of Jesus Christ. But your sins cause death. Number four, saved from the power of the world. The power of the world. Well, our society wants to tell us that we're getting better and better and better and better. Are we really getting better? We're not getting better. We continue to drift away from our Creator God. We continue to drift away from the Word of God. We continue to drift from the house of God. And from the people of God. And we find that less and less come to the house of God, but they think that they're okay. And yet they're searching for peace and they're searching for something when it's right here in the Word of God. And it tells us in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. We live in an evil society. Why do we constantly have to make new laws? Because men and women are evil. And they continually find new ways to try to trick you for your money. They talk about identification fraud. Why? Because people are thieves and cheats. I remember when we had a different dog, and that dog was barking up a storm, and we really didn't think a whole lot about it until Donna went out and got in her car. Somebody had gotten in the car and stolen her wallet. Well, why should we have to worry about someone stealing our wallet? Because people are crooks. They're crooks. David Hinkle was telling us before Sunday school that where he worked, that quite often the men would leave at lunchtime and they would go down to a bar, and there they would drink for 2 or 3 hours, get drunk, come back, punch out, and go home. Well, why would they do that? Because they're crooks. They're evil. Why do we have these so-called gentlemen clubs? Yeah, right. Why do we have pornography? Because we're evil. The world keeps pulling at us. We must keep close to the Lord. So we're saved from the penalty of sin. We're saved from the power of sin. We're saved from the power of the devil. We're saved from the power of the world. We're saved from the power of the law. Romans chapter 10, if you would, please. Romans chapter 10. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Saved from the power of the law. Now, when we were reading from the book of John, chapter 3, it said that Jesus did not come to condemn us. Well, why are we condemned? Because of the law. The law says this is how you should do it. But when we don't do it, what condemns us? The law. The law says this is what you were supposed to do. Now, I don't want anybody to raise their hand, but how many of you have ever gone through a pink light? You know what I'm talking about? It's not yellow. But it's a combination with the red. Pink. Should you have stopped? But you didn't. Well, why didn't we? Because I get sick and tired of being stopped at the light at 19 Canal and Shaner. I don't know how I can get caught at it 97% of the time. You see, Pastor Paul, have you ever gone through the light when it was pink? I don't know. Have you? We're not going to say, are we? But the law condemns us. You're going north over here on M53. What's the speed limit? 70. Have you ever done 75? What condemns us? The law. The law. But we are saved from the power of the law. Romans 10, beginning at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. The Apostle Paul wanted to see his countrymen come to know the Lord as Savior. My desire is to see people in Michigan get saved. Especially in Ohio. Come on, folks, be with me here. Do you want to see revival in America? Well, two of you do. Let me ask that question again. Do you want to see revival in America? Yes. Well, where's the revival going to start? It's not going to start on NBC. Revival's not going to start on the Fox network. Revival's not going to start in our public schools. It's got to start in our churches. In our churches. And Paul wanted to see revival in his country. He says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. See, religion will not save us. We have a lot of religion in America. We have tons of religion in America. But what we need is salvation in America. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He fulfilled the law in total. We cannot keep the law because we're sinners, but we can be saved. Regardless. Number six. How many points did I tell you I had? Seven, and I'm on what? Six. What's that mean? Preach. Preach it. Very good. Preach point six. Saved from the power of wrath. Saved from the power of wrath. Naaman 1:2 says, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. We read in the book of John chapter 3 verse 36 that those that do not believe will suffer the wrath of God. And you may say, why will God send his wrath? Because he sent his son to die for us. And we that reject the salvation and have rejected the son will suffer the wrath of God. What is that wrath? Hellfire. I don't say that with pride. I'm sorry for those who will die and spend eternity in hell. I'm sorry for those that have had the opportunity of living in our great country where the Word of God has been proclaimed for decades and know nothing about Jesus Christ. If you would, the book of 1 Thessalonians, verses 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We're saved. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I'm not asking, are you a member of some church? Are you a member of the Covenant Baptist Church? Or have you been baptized? Or have you been sprinkled? Or have you given to good causes? No, I'm asking, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Was there a point in time in which you said, Jesus, Lord, I need your help. Please forgive me and become my Savior. It's the most important decision you will ever make. 14 days before Toys R Us closed its doors, I took four of my grandchildren over to the store. Brian was with me because it's a whole lot easier to have two adults watching four kids than it is to have one adult watching four kids. I should go there and tell them, if you're not near me, you don't get anything. Maybe that's what I should have said. Wow, why did I just think about that now? I don't know. But we took them in, and I told them, I said, find something, you know, and I gave them a price range. And really, it was so much for the group of four, because I knew that EJ would not get the most expensive thing, and I knew that Joey would. It's the way it works every time. And that's the way it worked this time. EJ got something that was about $13, and Joey got something that was worth about $26, and it all came to the right thing. But, you know, they went in, and they're walking around, and it's 14 days to its closing time, so all the Legos are what? Gone. The Legos are gone. All the really best stuff is what? Gone. But there's still good stuff in there. And so they're looking around. And do you ever notice that the younger kids, there are 75 things they want. And they hold one thing and they find something else and they put the one down. And they're moving around. And finally, all four of them came up with something. Ben came up with 250 nerd bullets. Okay, and that way he could go, and apparently they have a bunch of Nerf guns. And they have Nerf battles. That sounds like fun. And each one got something. They each made a choice. And it was a gift. Because I was purchasing it. There's a choice. When it comes to a gift, the choice is there. You must accept the gift. God has offered us the gift of salvation. I hope you've accepted that gift, because it was purchased with the most precious thing on earth, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, his shed blood. Our last point. We shall be saved from the presence of sin. The book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Can you imagine a world where no one is cussing? Can you imagine a world where no one is trying to steal what is yours? Can you imagine a world where there is no one beating people up? There, a world where people have only good thoughts? Because I'd hate to know how many bad thoughts have happened in the last 30 minutes in this room. You say, well, there have been no bad thoughts in the last 30 minutes in this room. Do you want to bet? Yeah. Saved from the presence of sin. Notice verse 28, Hebrews 9. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. No sin. What a glorious thought. Shall we stand together? It's been a while since I have spoken a purely salvation-themed message. But the Lord laid it upon our heart to do so today. I hope you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope you know Him because you've accepted Him as Savior. I hope you have more than just a head knowledge of Jesus, but a heart knowledge, an intimate relationship with Him. Number 17 is our song of invitation, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. You cannot sing that song unless you are really willing to let Him have His way. And it begins with accepting Him as Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now Your hand upon us. Bless this invitation time. Thank You, Lord, that we can gather together, proclaim the truth. Proclaim the Word of God. Lord, may the Holy Spirit convict and touch hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.